Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows I try thirsty land.
Thank you so much, ladies. That was a blessing, that song is, thinking through. You know, does everybody understand this, no matter who you are here this morning, that when a person recognizes that their way is faulty, the Bible teaches that we're sinners on our way to hell. Because of our sin, we deserve death. But Jesus, in his love towards us, gave himself on the cross. He died for us, provided the way to eternal life. And when a person accepts that for themselves, they realize, wait a second, Jesus paid it all. And they decide to depend upon what Jesus has done. When a person does that, comes to dependence upon Jesus, not their works, not their church, not the people, not their family, when they recognize that Jesus is the answer to eternal life. And by the way, I hope that you understand that. The answer to your eternal destination is not works. It's not doing a bunch of right things. It's not going to a church service or a bunch of church services. It's not giving money, putting money in the offering plate, or giving money to charity, or raising a good family. God does not say that. In fact, he said it's not by works of righteousness we have done. When we recognize that it's not what we do, but what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross, when we believe that and we're depending upon that, depending upon Jesus to get us to heaven, when we do that, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit baptizes us, or if I could say, immerses us or puts us completely into the person of Jesus Christ. We're in Him. And what I'm going to all this detail is to say is this: when you have put your faith and trust in Jesus for your eternal destination, when you're in Christ, then you are hid in Him. And what these young ladies just sang about is, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. You realize you have safety, you have protection, you have provision, the best place you can ever be, no matter what you're going through. There are some here sitting today that are going through a lot. Troubled times have come. Difficulties are there. You're struggling. You don't know where to go. You don't know where to turn. There's a difficult situation. I want to tell you, friend, that Jesus, you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then I urge you today, would you trust Jesus and depend upon Him, not only for your eternal destination, but for a hiding place today? He provides that. And so, if you're here this morning and you're struggling, I want to tell you, the answer is to run to Jesus, because He has the right place, and He is waiting to put His arms around you and to protect you. God is good. Would you taste and see that the Lord is good? Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Esther? Would you go to Esther this morning? Esther is one of two books that is titled after a lady, and that's not why we're doing it, but I think that this book is a tremendous book that is all about God. Did you hear that? All about God. And yet, there are people that would say that God is not in this book at all. And in a way, they're right, because you cannot find God's name one time in the book of Esther. But my friend, I want to tell you something. God is on every page of this book. Every single page, we see God at work, and we're going to see Him at work again today. You know, we find ourselves in different and unique situations. We're in Esther chapter 4. So make sure you get there, and then I want you to look up, not to look at me, but to listen, okay? I want you to listen as I begin this message, and I want to set the stage for some things. All right, we find ourselves in difficult and different and unique situations, don't we? You know, we wake up, every day is a different day. It's a new morning, and sometimes that's a good thing, but in other times it's a difficult thing, and the day that we dreaded or whatever, but unique and different situations. You know, there might have been a day this week that things were going a certain way, and then you woke up the next day and you found yourself in a different set of circumstances. Unique circumstances. And we ask sometimes, why am I here? God, why do you have this for me? Why do I have to be the one that's going through this at this time? And we even find ourselves thinking, why does it have to be me? Why couldn't it be so and so? Why couldn't it be somebody else? Why do I have to go through this? You've heard my story, and I'm not going to tell it. I'm not going to rehearse it too much. But for those of you that haven't heard it, again, it's not about me. It's about a good God. Again, in my past, I grew up very, 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 very much focused on sports and athletics and weight training and all of that stuff. And I loved it, got myself into it, and really immersed myself into that. And I, sad to say, I wish I would have followed God in a greater way. In fact, it was this week or last week that I was thinking about the opportunities that I probably had with, and I felt like I had a fairly decent testimony with my unsaved friends at the public school. But I guarantee I could have done a much better job, a greater job at sharing my faith and trust in Jesus Christ with them. But as I went through that, I was so involved and engaged with that. That was my life, my sports and the athletics and the physical part of my life. I was so much into that and I pursued that up all the way through college into Bible college, as I went to a school where I could play football. And I went through all of that, and I got into it. I went through, many of you again know the story. I can't give all the details, but you remember how that my senior year, everything going for me, I got injured and I had to check myself out of school. And it was for me, that was so involved in that area of my life, that was devastating for me. Absolutely devastating. But God gave me another opportunity, another chance in which I feel like I squandered it as well. And he put me in a set of circumstances again the very next year. Again, everything going for me. This maybe even a better situation now. I'm a year older and a little bit more stronger, a little bit more, into it. And I went all out for it again and got another injury, in that first game again. And I could sit back and say, God, why are you doing this? Why couldn't it happen to him? Why is this going? Why am I going through this? And then, of course, I nurtured myself back, and I made it again, and got hurt again, and again. God, why do you have me going through this? And then the next, another game, and got hurt again. God, why do you have me going through this? And I remember the final game that I had in the middle of that season when I really blew my knee out again for that last time, and there was no hope anymore. There was no going back. I remember them taking those scissors and just cutting off all of my gear. I was done. And there was a sense that I knew I was done. And I went there and they loaded me up on morphine, and I don't remember hardly anything about it. And I woke up there in the hospital, and I'm thinking, looking up at the ceiling, what is going on? Why am I here? A few weeks later, I found myself in a physical therapy outfit that was there in Watertown, Wisconsin. I was there, and there was a man by the name of Todd. I'm not going to give his full details, but Todd was there, and Todd was appointed to me to help get me back to take my injury I can't remember. I had surgeries and all kinds of things. I can't remember exactly what procedure I had at that point in time. But something happened, and Todd was appointed to me to help get me back so that I could at least function. No more football, no more athletics, but let's get you back so you can walk to class. Let's get you back and do that. And I got to befriend Todd, and I got to talk with Todd. And yet I asked the question, God, why am I here instead of somebody else? Let's look at Esther chapter 4, and I don't have the time to fill you all in with this complete story, but we find God's people, the Jewish people, that are in bondage and captivity for many years under the Babylonian Empire here in Persia under King Ahasuerus, which was a general name like a pharaoh of a certain king. King Artaxerxes is in command. King Artaxerxes is not a good man. He's a selfish man. He's a lust-filled man. He's a man that is very greedy. He's a man that gets angry quick. He doesn't think about a lot, and he's very rash in his decisions. That's King Ahasuerus. King Ahasuerus had a beautiful wife. You remember the story of Queen Vashti, and he asked her to come out and to show her in front of all of the men of the kingdom. And of course, she's had none of that. She wouldn't do it. And so they got rid of her and put out a plea to the kingdom for a bunch of women to come in so that they could find him another wife, another queen. And again, the whole story is much more in detail. But Esther, I believe, by choice, is brought to the king. And she makes it through all the way through. And King Ahasuerus picks Esther as the one to be his queen and his wife. Esther has come in a very unique situation to make it all the way to here. And now she's there. Yet, even in her being there, she hasn't seen the king for a number of months, a number of days that she's been away. And now this situation comes up in the kingdom that is very threatening to her people. Remember that Queen Esther is a Jew, and she's living under the Babylonian Empire as in the Persian in Persia, and she's there, and she has not made her identity known as far as who she is and her nationality. Nobody knows, of course, except for her own kindred, and we have Mordecai, who also understands who she is, but the king doesn't know. Anyway, do you remember Mordecai? Now, Mordecai, her relative that is there, and he's there at the king's gate into the kingdom, and he is there, and Haman, this man that has been lifted up. And I'm remembering all kinds of messages that I could go on rabbit trails to get into. But I think for sake of time, we're going to allow this. I'm not going to go into it. But Haman is promoted by the king. And Haman he's going through. He's a very proud individual that wants everybody to bow down to him. And Mordecai refuses to do that. Probably remembering back to things in the past with the families and things and strife and contention there. But he refuses to bow down. Well, Haman doesn't like that. And so he gets so upset and he goes to the king and remember, the king is very rash. He doesn't even think about anything. He goes to the king. He doesn't even tell him who these people are. He just says, there's a group of people in your kingdom that won't bow down to me. King, would you let me take care of the people? And the king just says, go for it. And so Haman is all excited. He goes for it and he puts out a decree and he tells the whole kingdom that he's going to destroy the Jewish people. At which Esther is one of those. But they don't know. And then 2 weeks ago, we went through the ball game that went back and forth in chapter 4 of, remember, Mordecai sees this and he tells Esther that she needs this and she needs to understand this. And then Esther gives message back to Mordecai about how he needs to remember this. And Mordecai thinks about that and it goes back and forth with all of this this volleyball game of what they're doing here with having to trust the Lord and to commit things to the Lord, okay? That was in chapter 4. And we went all through that. We find Esther in a unique situation here because she has been placed in the kingdom. She's been placed as the king's wife. She's been placed as the queen here. And she has the opportunity of anybody else to do something, but she's feared for her life because we remember the custom. Do you remember the custom in this kingdom of what would happen? Did Esther have free opportunity to go to any time to her husband, the king, to talk to him? What's the answer? No. If she wanted to, as well as anybody else in the kingdom, what did they have to do? They had to show themselves, and the king had opportunity with the scepter either to look and see her and to put the scepter out so that she would come in, or deny and she would be dead. And that would be for anybody in the kingdom. It was up to him totally. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that was a unique and scary situation that Esther was in? Absolutely. That was a tough situation. A tough situation. And Esther could have asked the question because Mordecai tells her, Esther, you've been put in this place. Maybe you need to be the one. You're our hope. And Esther over here can sit back and say, but Mordecai, don't you remember that if he won't put out the scepter, I can be dead? And Mordecai comes back to her with an amazing statement. It's a statement that most of us know. I want you to look at Esther chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 14. So Mordecai is talking to Esther, not right there, but they're sending messengers back and forth. Esther has said, Mordecai, don't you understand the danger that I'm in? Mordecai replies, for if thou, he's already said something in verse 13, but he says this, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Now, we've already talked about that. I believe that Mordecai figured that if Esther wouldn't do it, that somehow God was going to fulfill his promises to his people and was going to deliver them. That was another time, though. But I want you to notice this. He says, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed if that happens, by the way. And here it is. Here's what I have in bold of this that we're going to preach on this morning. And he says to Esther, and who knoweth? This is a rhetorical question. He knows the answer. But, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Do you understand what he's saying there? He says, who knows whether maybe you have been placed here for in the kingdom for this special time? Mordecai, in my language, he's saying, Esther, don't you realize that you could have been placed here because God wants to use you? And Esther here receives this. God, why am I here? Why am I the one that has to be here? All right, I want you to see, first of all, who knew what? Interesting question. Notice Mordecai says, and who knoweth whether thou art come? Question, who knew? Why Esther needed to be there? What's the answer? God did. I tell you that God's not mentioned in this book, but God's all over it. Who knew that Esther needed to be there? Folks, I want to tell you, we see it all over the book of Esther, how God had placed her. Why didn't he place her? Why didn't he place her? Because she couldn't do it. She didn't have the place. God allowed Esther to be there. And it was more than just for Esther and her life. It was more than for Mordecai and his life. It was more than the group of Jewish people that had already been delivered and gone back to Jerusalem under Ezra. It was more than that. It was all the Jewish people. And I submit to you, it was for you as well. I say that almost every week. Do you understand that things that happened in the Bible that are recorded for us, these things are not just for the people in that time, but they are for us. That was there for us. This message is here for us today. God put Esther there for you. And the question that is asked here, not asked, kind of a rhetorical question is, and who knows? And the answer is, God does. Can I tell you this? That God knows everything that everybody needs at every point in time. God knows it. Do you know that God knows what Skip needs today? God knows what Rodney needs today. God knows what Linda needs today. God knows what Pastor Dan needs today. God knows what Joe needs today. God knows what I need today. And do you know that God in His sovereignty has lined everything up to present to me in my day exactly what I need? Whether it's good in my eyes or bad, God has it for me. My friend, the first point that I want you to see is God knows. God knows everything that needs to happen. I think that Mordecai is legitimately asking the question here, maybe you are here to do a special work. I don't know that Mordecai knew how everything was going to be planned out. I don't think that Mordecai could see in the future the things that happen in chapter 6. I don't think he has any clue that of how Esther's even going to do it. All he says is, Esther, you've been probably put here for a special purpose. But he had no clue the events. You remember how Esther is going to call for a banquet and to call Haman? I mean, he has no idea. And I don't know that Esther has any idea yet, because they're just walking by faith. They're just walking one step at a time. But I don't think that he knew. But I can tell you for sure that God does know, and he did know everything that was going to happen. Every event, he knew. He knew what was going to happen. He had planned it. He had prepared it. Many years ago, I was still there in Wisconsin after all the events that, you know, in my physical life and the surgeries and all the football and all that. After that point in time, that I was about done with school, and I was looking for a ministry to get out of after my school. And I went, and there was a church in Illinois that wanted me to come up or actually come down and see if I would be a fit for, I think the position was maybe an assistant or a youth pastor or something like that. And I was remotely interested, and so I went by myself, got in my little pickup truck, and same one that I drive still today. I got in that truck and I took off outside of Madison, Wisconsin. I was leaving Madison going south. I can't remember what route it was. But I was heading south. I think it was a Saturday mid-afternoon or something like that. I took off in my truck, and I was in some sort of a highway that had, I think it was three lanes. I was in the middle lane, and I'm driving. It was just in one of those zones that begins to get faster. You know, you're going through maybe 25, you know, and you're in town, or 30, 35, or whatever. You're going that, and then it's just getting ready. It bumps up a little bit because you're getting towards the outskirts, and then it's going to bump up when you get in the country. Okay? At least that's the way it was there in Wisconsin and going down into Illinois. And I had just been bumped up. It went into three lanes, and I'm right there in the middle in my little blue pickup truck and going down. Probably, I'm just going to estimate, probably somewhere around 40, 45 miles an hour going down that road. And I was just driving there, and I happened to look in my rearview mirror. And in my rearview mirror, there was a much bigger truck than mine. I'm not talking about a semi-truck. I'm just talking about a big, if some of you would say real truck, okay? My truck is a real truck. You know, it's only a four-cylinder truck, can't pull many things, but I'll tell you what, it gets me where I need to go, and I like it. I'm there in my little truck, and a real truck, real big truck is coming behind me, but I could tell that there was something different about this truck approaching me, because I could tell that at my 45 miles an hour, that truck had to be approaching me at more like 70 miles an hour. I could tell just by looking in the rearview mirror that that truck was coming really fast at me. At the point in time that I saw that truck, I'm guessing that it was several hundred yards behind me, but several hundred yards going 70 miles an hour goes like that, right? Okay, so this pickup truck is coming right behind me really fast, and all of a sudden I got nervous, but what could I do? He's coming straight at me, and he's coming at the last moment. In fact, I'm watching at the last moment, right before he would have ran right into the back of me. He swerved into the left lane and then overcorrected, because he swerved, overcorrected and ran right smack into me on the side, right in front. I'm here in the driver's side. He smashed right in front of me. There was a semi-truck on the right side of me, rammed me right into the semi-truck. Only by God's grace, it didn't push me underneath the wheels before the back wheels would have ran right over me. Pushed me right into the back wheels about of this semi-truck. Semi-truck pulled over. That guy ended up being a hit and run, took off. They never found the guy. I'm there mashed. I wasn't mashed. My truck was mangled. And there I was. And I asked the question, why did this happen to me? But my friend, I want to tell you something. God knew everything. God knew everything. And I'll assure you, that was the time before cell phones. I know. My kids think that that is amazing. You know that I lived before cell phones. I didn't get on my phone and call my dad. I didn't get on the phone, whatever. I can't even remember, really. I was trying to rehearse it and to see. I don't really remember what happened, but I know one thing. My truck was barely drivable. I mean, the wheels were kind of going like this. I was right in front of an exit. Praise the Lord. There was an exit very close. So I was on the shoulder of the road, and I went really slowly, you know, wobbling back and forth, and I got off. And I went and I pulled into some sort of a service station of some sort. I don't remember hardly anything about it. I ended up, I almost think that the police, you know, were with me. I don't remember hardly anything, but I know that I think that they had me go to a hospital or something like that to make sure there was no injuries with me. And all I remember is sitting there, and I was struggling. My truck was ruined. I couldn't make it down to the, you know, the interview, you know, with this church. Everything was just, and why, and now, and what's going to happen, because it was a hit and run, and is my truck done? And I remember sitting there in this waiting room, and probably, again, I don't remember all the details, but why? And there was an individual, there was a man sitting next to me, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts saying, you know, you need to talk to this guy. And I'm thinking, this is not the time. I don't want to talk to that guy. Right now, I've got enough going on. This is the worst day. I don't want to do that. But the Holy Spirit, you know, was saying, you know, you've got a job to do right here. And you know, the Lord miraculously allowed me to get out of myself and to start talking to this individual. And I was able to share the gospel with this individual and go through the plan of salvation. Now, I would love to tell you today that that man got saved and he's going to church somewhere and living for the Lord. I have no idea what's happened, but I would say this. It would be a neat thing one day to find out in heaven that God had done something with that gospel message. I don't know what God's going to do with it. I don't know if that man's still alive. I have no idea, but I can tell you that in the end, I could see something. God knew that that man needed something, and although he allowed something to happen in my life that seemed tragic, God knew exactly what was needed. My friend, before we go on to the second point, I want to tell you something. God knows exactly what you need. Whether good or bad, it's ultimately for your good and his glory. Always. God has things in line. So when you're sitting here today, be careful to say, why? And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that as long as we go back to say, why? I don't know, but God does. Does everybody get the first point? God does know, and he's got a plan. God knows, and he's got a plan. I love 2 Corinthians 1:4. Would you quickly turn to 2 Corinthians 1:4? I love this because this shows us a little bit of God's knowledge and plan. Why do we go through some of the things that we go through? 2 Corinthians 1:4 has been a verse that I've remembered for a long time because I've seen it lived out and played out and real in my life so many times. 2 Corinthians 1:4, and in a way it's a little bit different, but I think you'll see the reason why I bring it out. talking about God who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Stop there. Do you know that God's a God of comfort and He longs to comfort and encourage us when we go through difficult things? And you've all been through difficult things. You've been through struggles. You've been through stories. You could all tell stories like I just told, maybe different. Maybe it wasn't a wreck. Maybe it was a sickness. But we all could tell stories about struggles, right? We all have struggles, difficult things that come into our lives. We all have those. But God is a God of comfort that when we go through it, He comes down and He comforts us and He helps us to make it through. But notice what He says. He comforteth us in our tribulation. Why? Here's the purpose. Why do we go through the tribulation? Why does God comfort us? Why? Because it's good for somebody else. He says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you understand something? God allows us to go through things so that we can help other people. So that we can be there. You know what? I can relate with other people in certain areas because it did happen to me. Sometimes as a pastor, I look and something has happened tragic that I can't honestly say that I've been through. And I struggle because I don't say, hey, you know, I know what you're going through. I don't try to pretend I don't know what you're going through. You know, when some of you have had a spouse that has passed away or a parent that has passed away, I've not had that. I cannot come up to you and say, you know what, I know exactly what you're going through. It's a blessing when there are things that I have been through and I can say, I do know what you're going through. Well, friend, I want to tell you something, that God is a God that does know what you're going through. He knows exactly, like we heard about this morning already in the song service, He has been there. He already knows. He already knows, and that's why we've got to have faith and trust in Him. But God allows us to go through things so that we can help other people, so that we can be a blessing. Why did I have to go through that trial? And God says, Sean, I had you go through that because years later, there's going to be somebody else that's sitting there hurting, that is struggling. And I'm going to put you there for a perfect situation so that you can help them go through that. God does know. I want you to see, second of all, so we look at this. Who knows what? And the answer, God does. But who has come and where? Notice, as we look back at Esther 4, who has come and where? Look at verse 14. And who knoweth, we have already answered that, God, whether thou art come to the kingdom. Who has come and where? You have come. Honestly, Esther is here. Mordecai's talking to her. Esther. And who knows? Who's come? And he's saying, God knows, and you're the one. God uses people to help with, if I could loosely say, kingdom work. He puts us in a specific spot. So God knows everything of what's going on. God does. In your lives, God knows, and He's got it all under control. But He chooses to place you specifically in a certain spot to help out in the kingdom. Now, when we look at this, we ask, where is the kingdom? Honestly, I can take it more than what it is. I really think that when He says here in verse 14, thou art come to the kingdom, I don't want to over-spiritualize it. I really believe He's talking about the kingdom right there that Ahasuerus had in Persia. But I would suggest this, that in God's kingdom, He has everything, He has every situation lined up. And if I could say this, that in His kingdom, He has kingdom work to be done. And God could have done it all through Jesus if He would have allowed Jesus to stay alive for the remainder of His life. And He could have healed and helped everybody. But God chooses to use people. So Jesus left and He told the disciples, and that's us. He said, listen, you guys have to do the work. You guys have to do kingdom work here. And here Mordecai is saying, listen, who has come to the kingdom? And the answer is you. Can I tell you, friends, who has come to this kingdom work? Do you know who God has chosen to use in the situations and where in our lives? It's you and where you're at. God has strategically placed you where you need to be to help other people. He's put you here for a purpose. He's put you there for a reason. So you're coming home from work. It's been a long day of work. You're tired. You're worn out. You're ready to go home and get a shower, rest a little bit, and then you know that you're going to have a little bit of time when you're going to be able to, guys, you're going to be able to go out in the shop and tinker around for a little bit. Maybe you have a store that you want to go to. You're going to go and hang out at the hunting store or the fishing store. Maybe you're going to go, whatever. But you're tired. You've had a hard week of work. You're getting ready. You know, you're coming home. You get home, and it's like your weekend has finally started. And you're just like, wow, it's been rough. It's been a tough week. We've all been there. Different things that are going on in our lives. And you pick up your phone, and there's 4, 5, 6 texts from that person. It's your friend, but you know, and when you just see the person and 4 or 5 texts, you know that there's struggles. And what goes through your mind? Not today. I'm tired. I deserve something different. No, not now. You're there you're there in church, and you're ready to go talk to maybe somebody else about something that you're excited about, a ministry or something that you're going, and then there's another person, and you know by the look on their face there's a struggle and there's a problem and there's something, and inside you're thinking, could this wait for another time? And we scoot off and try to avoid them or do something else. Or maybe that accidental run into that person at the store that, I really don't have time for that today. You know, we find ourselves, no matter the situation, there are some times that all of us in different ways find ourselves in situations that seem to be, not now. Why did this happen? I really, God, why did you have this happen? Because I've got something different. I'm tired. I've got all this. I've got other things going on. Or you've been placed on a ministry team with somebody and you're thinking, why did I get put with them? God, you know that I struggle with them. You know that I don't get along with them. You know that we, why? Folks, I want to tell you something. These, listen to this, they're directly appointed by God. God puts you in that place. If I could loosely say, He puts you in the kingdom work for a purpose. He's placed you there. He's put you there. God could have allowed them to call somebody else. God could have allowed them to be in a different aisle or a different storm. God could have allowed something else to happen, but God allowed it to happen, and there you are. They're called divine appointments. Why? The question for us is, first of all, the responsibility is we've got to understand that this is of God. But I want to leave you with the fact that we must recognize these with a godly response and have willingness to be used. I want you to see Esther. Remember, Mordecai is looking over at Esther kind of in a different way. You can't see her, but he's writing, or he's telling these messengers. Esther has just said, don't you realize, Mordecai, that if I could be dead? Mordecai over here has said, Esther, maybe you've been put in this situation. Maybe you've been put in this situation to take care of things. And he specifically uses the phrase, for such a time as this. God has placed you in this spot. God knows that He's placed you in this specific spot. Esther over here receives this, and kind of like our situations that I've been describing here, is like, why me? Why now? This is not, I'm the queen now. What was Esther's response? I love it because it's very tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. Look at verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. So she gets the answer. Mordecai says, I wonder if you're the one, Esther, to take care of the situation. It's more than a wonder. Esther's response, verse 16. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. You see, she understands this is a big deal. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. In a sense, Esther's saying, all right, I've been put in this spot. I don't know what's going to happen, and I might die. Mordecai might die. I might or I might not. But she was willing to step up no matter what the cost. When it was not convenient. When we don't feel like it. When we see no hope. When it seems to be a mistake. We must remember that God has placed us in a specific position to do His kingdom work. And so I'm laying there. My friend Todd, helping me with things. You know, if it had been a few weeks ago, I would have really cared because I'd been like, you know what, come on, get me back. And that's what I did. You know, get me back. I need to get on the field. At this point in time, there was no hope. And I'm laying there. The motivation wasn't as big because, sadly to say, I didn't care about my classes as much as I cared about the field. I don't remember a lot of details, but I remember that I really struggled. Why? Why is it me? Why am I here? I ought to be there. You know, God reminded me, Sean, maybe. Just maybe you're here for such a time as this. But God, you don't understand. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, he did understand. Because you know what? He knew that there was a man named Todd that had a lot of questions. There was a man there that was a few years older than me. Honestly, he wasn't very old. A few years older than me that had a lot of spiritual questions. And do you know, in the course of the next few physical therapy appointments, Todd started to ask me some questions. Questions about God. Questions about life. Todd got saved. Todd got saved. Or who knows? If God has put you here for such a time as this. And my friend, I want to tell you something. There's going to be a soul in heaven. And that soul in heaven will be much more than a few extra games on the football field. And I can now say, God, thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what you have done because you have a perfect plan. My friend, I want to tell you, God knows what's going on in your life. He's got it all under control. He's got it. He's got a special work for you right in the kingdom to do. And God is just waiting for us to say, if I perish, I perish. Whatever you want, God, I'm okay. Lord, would you help us this morning? God, would you help us this morning to see that the things that you have done, the places that you've brought us, the direction that you've pushed us towards, the accidents that have happened, the injuries that have taken place, the separations in our life that have happened, the financial distress and the things, the break at work with that other coworker, whatever it is, God, would you help us to understand that you've got a plan going on. Lord, may we trust in that plan. May we trust in you. May we understand that you've got something going on for such a time as this. Lord, we look forward to seeing what you're going to do with the situations that you've placed us in. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.